Oh, how indeed I pray we will stand in his power. Someone once said, and I've seen it on a church sign or two, that if we don't stand with God, we'll fall for anything. All right, you ever heard that one before? And the safest, strongest, most secure place we can ever be is on our knees before him, humbled, letting his power be what fills us. I don't know if the experience has ever happened to you, but not too long ago, I was driving down the road. I'm using my phone as the little navigation, the GPS and all that. And I became worried because it said my battery was down to 10%. Oh no, would I make it to my destination? It occurred to me that I have a power cord sitting there in my car that could go to the bottom of my phone and keep it going perfectly fine. It's just funny sometimes, right? The power that we have available that we don't use. There's an example of power in the news also this week. Did you hear about the lobster fisherman in Massachusetts? He thought he had all kinds of power with his scuba gear and with his light and his down there 45 feet plucking lobsters up off the ocean floor, when all of a sudden something with a whole lot more power, a whale, swallowed him up. Now, whales don't really like to swallow scuba diving fishermen. They are more attuned to getting little shrimp and so forth. So the whale also then spit him out like a modern day Jonah. But sometimes think we have so much power, so much we can do. And then we realize there's this great, incredible power around us. You can chuckle with me about fishermen and lobsters and whales, but it's really true for us when all of a sudden we don't have the power to heal our bodies and we seek a doctor, we seek a surgeon. We don't have the power to take away that toothache, so we seek the dentist. We don't even have the power, if you think about it, to keep our own bodies going. We have to seek some food in the refrigerator or in a restaurant. We really know, if we think about it, if we reflect on it, we know how much we need power outside of ourselves to help us. And yet I think so very often we get ourselves in trouble, maybe like that lobsterman, thinking, I've got this. I can handle this. Well, sure, I might need a power cord on my phone. I might need to fill up my refrigerator. But who's the one filling the refrigerator? Who's the one doing all this? It's me. I can handle my situations. Oh, how much God wants us to know. There's so much more. So we're going to talk about power a bit today, because that's this focus here in 1 Corinthians. We're working our way through this entire book. It's a big chunk. At times we'll have big chunks. At times we'll have smaller ones. And so grateful to have Milton read that for us. This focus and this understanding of power. The Jews wanted to know, what power, what authority did Jesus have to do this radical act of cleansing out the temple of all the money changers, all the people selling and buying and everything else? The Jewish people of old thought, it's wonderful. We now have power because we're God's chosen people. But God was reminding them, the power you have is because of my choice. It's not because of anything special in you. And the world gets power so wrong. Remember back in the day, guys, they used to talk about power ties. You know, if you had the good-looking tie, then you were the man in the room that could command everyone else's attention. Remember when they used to talk about this in the workplace, the power lunch? You'd go out there, and since you were the one that was setting the agenda and probably paying the bill, you were the one that was going to tell the client or tell your coworkers what they were going to do. The power dynamics that seem to be in politics or on television, how whoever can insult the other or cut the other one down the more seem to have the slickest, most bright, wise argument. They think they're the ones who win. And God's power is completely different. This message the message of the cross, which is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. So Rome thought it had all the power in the world, that it could say, this one lives or this one dies. The Jewish leaders thought they were the ones with the power because they got the Romans to do their dirty work and get Jesus out of the way for them. And when you see a man dying and hanging on a cross, it does not exactly look like a powerful statement. But in God's economy, in God's way of understanding, as this verse says, this foolishness of the cross, God is the one who makes foolish the wisdom of this world. God is the one who is pleased, even through foolishness of preaching, to change people's lives. I know they'll try to sell you the latest shirt or the latest starch for your shirts or the best toothpaste that'll really whiten and brighten your teeth. But God has a power to give peace to your heart that nothing on this earth you can purchase will give you. God has a power that, you know, of all the plans, all the trips, all the homes, the things we want to do for our homes that we want to do, God has the power to bring you from this mortal life to an eternal home. That's power. And it's a power that he loves us enough to give us. How absolutely amazing this foolishness, as it was called. Brothers, think of it when you were called, brothers and sisters. Not many of you were wise. Not many of you were influential. You didn't have a lot of power. But God chose the foolish things of this world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of this world to shame the strong. That means God kind of hides. Martin Luther used to talk about that. The hidden God is there on the cross. Because Jesus doesn't look like God when he's suffering. He doesn't look like the picture of God's might and power and throwing down thunderbolts and everything else that people associate with God and with power. And yet is the greatest power of all. Walk with me on this one. Think of it. You're going to come in power, so you should send a conquering general with all of his soldiers riding on a white horse with all of the prisoners of war that have been captured marching behind them. That was the Roman way. You went off and you conquered a land and you brought back those you conquered, and your general led the way and everybody was awed by the power of his military might. And yet, how does God do it? Does he send a general? Does he ride on a white horse? I seem to remember the story goes something about his mother riding on a donkey. And he shows up in a stable that hardly anybody knows. In fact, it takes some out-of-town shepherds who are the only ones who seem to even be aware. The foolishness, quote-unquote, of God showing up as a baby. That doesn't seem like power. And yet God wanted to slip into this world, not to impress us, not to overwhelm us, not to have us go, wow, whew, that's some serious power. I better respect that or it'll crush me to dust. God is talking about a totally different kind of power. I wonder what it might be. God has all those other powers. You and I know that. It's like the scientist who comes to God. You know, this scientist who wants to boast. It says, that boasting should be put aside, as we heard. But the scientist who wants to boast and say, God, we don't need you anymore. We have figured out how to create life. God says, wow, that would be really impressive. I'd like to see that. And so, well, here, let me show you this wonderful machine we've created. And I just take a handful of dirt and God says, get your own dirt. Make your own dirt. See, God has all that power, all that creative power. He has the power, as Jesus once said, you don't worry about the one that can kill your body. You should fear, you should respect, you should be in reverent awe of the one who has the power, not only of your body, but also over your soul and your eternal life. He has all that power, but he chooses not to pound us like some righteous celestial hammer. He chooses instead to come in this foolishness, this approachableness. Of a baby born in a manger, of a Savior who with gentleness comes and says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I'll give you rest. Of a Savior who, instead of coming to be served, instead serves, washing the feet of his disciples, washing away our sins as his blood pours down on the cross. A Savior who chooses to use his power to forgive our sins, to cancel out that debt that we owe. Of all the times we've relied on the world's power, of all the times we didn't rely on God's power, and all the times we tried to power up on somebody and say, because I said so, or because I'm the boss, or because I can pretend, I can get my words to go around, and I look smarter than you, so you should listen to me and do what I say. or the power of us withholding our words, withholding our kindness, withholding our support, giving the silent treatments. This power that God demonstrates, not with wise and persuasive words. I wouldn't even try to give you wise and persuasive words as a pastor, but instead to point to Christ, the one who is giving his life for us on the cross, who by his Spirit's power, then after he died to forgive our sins, had the power of God to rise again, and by the Spirit to live again. This weakness of God, if as the scripture calls it, the God chose the weak things of this world to shame the strong, and that the weakness of God is stronger than our strength. This what looks like weakness. He doesn't save himself on the cross. Why? Because he's saving you. He doesn't preserve his life on the cross because he's reclaiming yours. He doesn't hold on to his life as if it's all that matters. He gives it away because it's all that can help us. And then, of course, we know this Jesus who became human and fragile and pierceable and mortal and so weak that he was willing to die for us. This Jesus came back. When the Jews asked him for a sign, he said, "Destroy this temple, and I'll raise it up again in 3 days." And he did. He rose that again. What is this power? What is this of God that comes as that hidden one there in the manger that looks hidden behind the weakness of dying on the cross? What is this power of God? It is not to pound us into dust. It is the power of love. The power of love that he would call us his children, the power of love that he would choose us, foolish ones like me and you, weak ones like all of us, needing and depending on a Savior who shows the way, who makes the way, who is the way and the truth and the life. When we are in Christ Jesus, we have the power of that love. We have the power that changes us. We have the power that frees us. And it's in that power that no president can take away, no army will ever rip out of our hands, no earthly weapon will ever be able to overcome. It is in the power of that love that we stand, that we live, that yes, we even face death, because even death doesn't have any real power, for our eyes will open instantly, and the one who holds all power will welcome us to our forever home. That's real power. The power of his love, that he chose you, that he saves you, that he frees you, and that he wants to fill you and walk with you every single step from now until forever. May we rely on that power. May we also share the love, that power of love, with others. And may we depend on it in all of our situations. Amen? Amen. Amen.